I would ask you please to turn to the book of Hebrews, the epistle to the Hebrews, then chapter 10. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 10. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Notice the last statement in verse 11, which can never take away sins. Now turn, please, to the teaching of the Lord Jesus, John's Gospel in chapter 10. Verse 27 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You will note that phrase in verse 28. They shall never perish. Very precious words to be able to rest with at night. John's Gospel now, please, in the fourth chapter. The Lord Jesus speaking with this woman by Sychar's well. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Notice that statement, they shall never thirst. There is one other text I would ask you to read again, please, in Hebrews chapter 13. 13th chapter, the last chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he, Christ, hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Never forsaken. But a very precious promise. Now you can recognize the link between these passages tonight. I wish to try to emphasize God keeping his word, what he says never. We often hear that word used. We hear it on our radios by politicians, and generally we smile. It's very difficult for them to say never, at least to keep their word when they say it. Now, I don't say that disparagingly, only from the point of view that we realize it is a word that is very loosely used. I recall well my own children using it, and I probably did myself. Many a time we would say and hear the children say, I'll never play with you again. But they did the next day. And there are other occasions when we're doing business and we might get stung And we say, well, I'll never do business with them again. And we try to make it stick. But could I say to you, my dear friend, tonight as one human being to another, when your God and my God says never, He means it. And there is nothing, and there is no one can change it when God says never. In my first reading tonight, I trust that you will believe God tonight. Take Him at His word, whether you are young or whether you are older here. Some of you older than myself, may I speak with respect to you in this meeting. When God says a man's sins are never forgiven, there's nothing that that man can do. Never forgiven. Never. Could I ask you tonight, my dear friend, would you care to live the rest of your life with those words written over your little history? Never forgiven. A history to follow you, with which you will face God. And you will face Him personally and all alone. You and Christ. The Word of God makes it so clear. We would do well to read that portion. Ponder its truth, friend. The day is coming when God will summon you into His presence. And if it's written across your little history, never forgiven. Could I say to you two truths that are revealed in this precious little verse, in these two verses that we have read tonight? Any individual who meets God, never having received His forgiveness of their sins, first of all, he will be without excuse. Notice verse 12 that we read of Hebrews chapter 10. Concerning the Lord Jesus, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. There's no reason, friend, in the whole world tonight, there's not a reason in you, there's not a reason in heaven, that you should not be forgiven. Christ has provided the means. That's the reason for Calvary. One sacrifice for sins. That's why He died. That's why He shed His life's blood. He was settling the sin question. He's provided a forgiveness, and God is offering it. May I ask you tonight, why have you never turned to God for the forgiveness of your sins? Well, you say, I always pray, and I do ask forgiveness. I know that I've done things that I'm totally ashamed of, and I know that I asked Him to forgive me right after I did it too. That's not what's in our passage, friend. That never put that sin away. That never paid for it. Every one of your sins and mine must be righteously punished. God would not be God, He would not be righteous if He did not punish our sin. We are His creatures. We are morally responsible to Him for every breath we draw. Every word we speak, we shall give account to Him who has given us life. Your Creator. Your God. Oh, the awfulness of meeting God, never forgiven. Can I note with you in verse 11, we have two things that are never satisfied. In verse 12, we have two things that are satisfied. And that's the good news.
in the closing part of this meeting tonight. Look, first of all, we have an unfinished work. People constantly offering to God a hope, something they hope that God will accept, that they might be forgiven. People offer their prayers. It's a good thing to pray to God. You owe it to Him. I owe it to Him. Could I ask you very kindly, friend, to do something tonight before you go to your bed? Turn out your little light. Get down on your knees by the side of your bed in reverence before God and thank Him. He didn't send you to hell today to suffer for your sins. You owe it to Him. It's only the mercy. Do something tonight before you go to your bed. Turn out your little light. Get down on your knees by the side of your bed in reverence before God and thank Him. He didn't send you to hell today to suffer for your sins. You owe it to Him. It's only the mercy of God that spares any one of us that are found in this room tonight. None of us deserve it. We're all born with the same wicked nature. We have all chosen to do our own thing, to whatever degree that may be or whatever avenue it may take. We've sinned. We've fallen short of God's standard. We're sinful. We owe it to Him. You owe it to Him, my dear friend. Get down on your knees and thank Him. He didn't send you to hell today. Oh, what a mercy. And I'd like to say to you, friend, it's a tremendous revelation of the marvelous, unmerited love of the heart of God that all of us are not in hell tonight. A marvelous manifestation of love. What is the purpose that God spared me today? What is the purpose for why God spared you today? Because He wants to forgive you. He wants your sins to be put away righteously, eternally, and praise His name freely. That's the marvel. That's what the message of the gospel is. That's what it's all about. But here's a people and they're never satisfied. An unfinished work, constantly offering. May I note with you, friend, this verse is saying very simply, even as you've been hearing in the former part of this meeting tonight, there is nothing that I can do to influence God to put away my sin. Offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never. No hope, friend, should you have the privilege of living to 100 years of age and prayed every day of your life. Never. Never take away sins. An unsatisfied God is in this verse. God receiving no satisfaction from the efforts, the earnestness, the prayers, the sacrifices of human hands. We can't give it because of who we are. It's like taking this little glass of water here tonight. And if that thing had lipstick around the edge of it and a bunch of crumbs around the top of it, I'm telling you right now, my partner and I would not take a drink out of it. And I'm sure that the people would see us looking at the thing and the men would get a little red around the cheeks and say, well, we've got to get a clean one for them tomorrow. Right. So they bring a clean glass like this one, filled with water, just what we need when we're a little dry. My friend, that glass is like you and like me. And by nature, we're filthy. You couldn't help that. That's how you were born. With a sinful nature. And the best that you can put into the dirty glass makes it totally unacceptable. That's why God says, never take away sins. Never. Unacceptable to God. Don't offer it to Him, friend. It's totally unacceptable to God. Anything that I may give, anything I may produce, anything I may endeavor to accomplish, God says, take it away. You never take away sin.
But as I leave that verse, I want you to notice chapter verse 12. I find a finished work and a satisfied God.
My friend, that's the good news tonight. That's why we are here. I am here to speak to you in this fashion tonight because I found it out for myself. A time in my experience when I saw so clearly I cannot give God a reason to save me. I couldn't influence him. And I found out why. I'm just a filthy glass seeking to give God a reason to save me from going into hell where I did not want to go and suffer eternally. I knew that would be righteous, but I did not want to go there. And I tried at my level best to try and strong enough in a right fashion with a right quality give to God a faith so that he would look at me and save me.
I found this text to be true. Never take away sins.
But I also found verse 12 was true, just as true as verse 11. Thank God that's true. Verse 11 is true of you tonight, friend, because God says it, and I hope you're proving it. You can't get rid of that guilt of sin. You cannot put away that which will bring you into eternal judgment and solemnly eternal suffering under righteous wrath. My friend, tonight, verse 12 is the answer for you. A satisfied God and a finished work. The work of Christ need never be repeated. He, the sinless Savior, gave himself in the place of guilty sinners like us. Friend, that should melt your heart tonight. The Son of God came forth from the glories of heaven, where all is holy and peace, under divine control. Nothing that would ever jar or mar the glory of the home of God. And out of that glory he came and stepped into our world, filled with all the debris of our sin and sorrow and brokenheartedness. He yielded himself to the sacrifice of Calvary. For what reason? To satisfy God on account of our sin. Friend, there's the answer if you wish your sins to be forgiven and forever put away, that you may know you will not be the one to suffer for your own sin. Marvelous love of God that he so designed it. That's grace, friend. Why should God extend to a sinner like you and like me a forgiveness? Free and eternal, and you never go back on it. That's why I read in John chapter 10, they shall never perish. Boy, I tell you tonight, I rejoice in those words. They're mine. You say, how do you know they're yours? Because as a poor, miserable sinner, I took God at his word that this man, Christ Jesus, offered one sacrifice for my sins. And God has accepted it. That's what the last part of the verse is saying. He forever sat down at the right hand of God. Friend, that's good news tonight. Can I ask you, what will you do with the Lord Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you put your case for salvation in his hand? That's what he's trying to show you, that the work of Calvary has satisfied every claim of the righteousness of an eternal holy God. And he's come forth with his word to tell you tonight, whosoever believeth in him, that's putting your case in his hand. That's trusting him with what you need so desperately tonight, to have your sins forgiven and your soul thus saved from going into judgment for all those sins. When will you trust him for your salvation? God grant you may see your need of trusting him tonight before it is eternally too late for you. Therefore, in my second passage, we read those words the Lord Jesus could say, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Never. And how precious is that verse that tells me again two things about the Lord Jesus that I want you to notice tonight, friend. The source of everlasting life is the person of Christ. It's in Him. It's from Him. He's the one that you must turn to. Don't look to any preacher. A preacher could never communicate to you eternal life. Don't look to a system. A system can never deal with the question of your sin. You're going to have to get down to business and deal with the Lord Jesus tonight. He's a living man in heaven. He is God. He's interested in you. He went to the cross to settle the great question of man's sins. On behalf of sinners, He suffered. He gave His life. He entered into the curse of death to bear its sting and to break its power. What a marvelous Savior. Why, when you pass by, the only one who can meet your need tonight. And friend, if you turn to Him, listen to His word. I give unto them eternal life. It's what He gives the moment that a sinner turns away from their own way, from their own fashion, from their own efforts. Turn away, friend, you perish and will never be forgiven. Never, never. But turn to the Lord Jesus, and He says, I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. In my third reading, can I note with you about a dear woman who had tried the world? I mean, she tried both sides of the street. She talked about her religion, and the Lord Jesus revealed that she was an immoral person. And you know that dear woman tonight is in heaven? And that after meeting the Lord Jesus that day, she was satisfied. Satisfied with Christ as her Savior and as the Master of her life. She said the Lord Jesus to her, rather, you'll never thirst again. I wonder, is there an empty and an aching sinful heart here tonight? Aching perhaps with the desire that you would love to know you will never, never be in danger of going into judgment. And you know you deserve it. Being honest with yourself, you know right well it's a mercy God did not cut you down today. Don't forget to thank Him for it, friend. You owe it to Him tonight. Can I say to you, poor aching heart, the Lord Jesus satisfies. He gives eternal life. And can I tell you, He gives to you the satisfaction of knowing peace with God. Being able to look into the face of the God of heaven and righteously, scripturally, being able to say, my Father, which art in heaven. I would tell you tonight, friend, that's one of the sweetest experiences of a human being's enjoyment in life, to be able to speak to God in all His holiness, in all His awesome greatness, be able to say, my Father, satisfied with Thee, Lord Jesus, I am blessed. Never thirst again. Now that text tells me that you can't lose what the Lord Jesus gives you. And furthermore, it tells me that it's in you. Did you notice that? I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. But in John 4 he says, it's in Him. And it springs up. It's there every day of the week. Grand thing. You know, people, when they get the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that doesn't mean to say that the rest of the way of life is all rose petals. Don't ever think that. We get sick. And we grieve over the loss of loved ones. And we have times of sorrow and frustration and grief. But I'll tell you one thing we can't lose. We can't lose the precious joy of knowing Christ is my Savior. My sins are forgiven. I'm on the road home to heaven because the Word of God says so. Never thirst again. Precious to have it, friend. And as I close the meeting, can I note with you the promise of the Lord Jesus to those that turn away from their sin, from themselves with all their self-righteous efforts to try and get their sins forgiven, and it will never, ever happen. You must turn to Christ. And the moment you do, to Him who once offered Himself for sins. Marvelous, friend. Oh, one could preach all night on that text if you could only see the beauty of it. He, the sinless Savior, in all the impeccability of His person, that word which means very simply, He not only did not sin, but He could not sin. That's what gives quality to His work. He couldn't fail. The sinless Savior, put into His hand by His Father, is the mighty work of salvation for unworthy, sinful human beings. And He couldn't fail in it. Praise His name. He accomplished everything that God's heart desired in order to offer you forgiveness of sins tonight and heaven as your eternal home and eternal life. It could be yours. You turn away from all that you're endeavoring to do yourself. Turn as an empty-handed sinner to Christ. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish and never thirst again. In Hebrews 13, He closes with this beautiful word, I will never forsake thee. Can I link those two texts in Hebrews together as I close the meeting tonight? I trust, friends, solemnly for you to ponder. Never forgiven and forever forsaken go together. Be very wise tonight, young man, young lady, older friend. If you do not believe God, choose to take your own way, and you die in your sin, you will be forever forsaken. Could you ponder a darkness that would be deeper than to be forsaken by God? The only one with the power to keep you out of hell tonight, for Him to let you go, that's not His desire. That's your choice. If you go away without the Lord Jesus, it is not God's fault. He offers Him to you tonight with His ability to save, His willingness to save. Don't pass Him by. We appeal to you in view of the awfulness of being forsaken. I once had the horrible experience of seeing a baby forsaken by its mother. She laid it in a little paper bag on a concrete step of the city hall in Quebec City where I once lived and ran away from it. I didn't know what it was. But other people gathered and they opened the bag because of the crying of the little babe, and the mother was gone. Forsaken. Ooh, that went into me like a knife. As I stood there and looked at that poor little wee babe. Forsaken. No security, no love, no home, nothing. Can I ask you, sinner, in this meeting tonight, before God, what would it ever be like for you to go over the boundary line of time into death? Forsaken. No hand to grasp after you. Not a word from the Bible to comfort you. Alone with your history of sin. And a Savior who would have saved you, but you cared not for Him. How solemn are those words of the poet. Deep down in that lake where all Christless ones go, immersed in despair and surrounded by woe, your soul will go wailing and joining its cry with the groan of the lost and the endless sigh. Salvation was free. Oh, friend, don't pass it by. Hell is real. It's eternal. But you loved your vile sin. And my God would have saved you, but you cared not for him. And the Spirit often strove, but you said to him, go. And now you're in hell, amidst its sorrow and woe. Never forsaken. Thank God that's mine. Never forsaken. That's the promise of the gospel. If you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, let us pray. Our God in heaven, thou art so very kind towards us poor sinful human beings. As we have looked into thine holy, unchangeable word tonight, we thank thee for its truth. We thank thee for the love of the Lord Jesus, offering himself to hell-bound and hell-deserving sinners. O God, we trust that some soul will take thee at thy word tonight and turn just as they are, without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me. We look to thee for blessing, thanking thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen.